Show, the first show of the last month of the year, yeah. December 1st,
oh,
episode
yeah.
61.
Happy December 1st.
What are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
I could have done this past
year. We're waiting for the show.
Started.
You have to start to compile at 8:55.
You don't have the inspiration to work on.
Blood Radio.
Promote.
Oh, I dropped off.
Woohoo!
Oh,
Oh, there he is.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling. When he answers, does he
hello? Hi, this is Matt Fisher. Hey, what's up?
Matt Fisher.
Hey, here we go.
Escape from the world.
Yes.
Can you hear us? Yeah. I can hear you perfectly, yeah.
Awesome.
It's good, because it was all your fault.
It was all my fault, yeah. Exactly. It's the Windows box, really.
There you go, man. You're calling in to the... You know how they had the web pages.
Yeah.
Hey, Bex.
I just want to let you guys know that no one hacked my box.
No one. Oh, you know what? I forgot a box.
Now.
Well, that's a good thing, though, I guess.
No, because if someone hacked his box, then he was going to switch over to Linux.
Exactly.
You know,
let's put it back out there again for everyone.
All right, let me get the IP address again. One more week for this, and then.
Come on, everybody! Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
I still have a full backup of the data, so the IP address is 68.45.126.208.
What's the credit card number? Don't worry about it, Alan.
Well, no, I was putting it on the... Okay.
I got it.
Just send it to you in Skype IM, so you should be getting it there.
Okay.
And I knew you guys were doing the show tonight, courtesy of Link's blog, so that was useful.
Sexual blogs?
I don't know.
I know, I posted it at 6 o'clock. What are you going to do?
I actually read it tonight. It's when I got here.
Yeah, but you already knew we were doing the tech show.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't make much of a difference.
Alan, oh man,
get on the show.
He's polluting my air over here. Get that. Do not invade my space.
Actually, I didn't even know the tech show. I'm just at it now. I didn't even know that existed.
Oh yeah,
what existed?
The tech show
plug. We have a blog. We have nice forums.
You're about the only one that really knows about it.
Yeah, we have nice forums and stuff.
Well, it's in my aggregator now.
Blog lines. We actually have 6 subscribers here.
That's impressive. Yeah, one of them's me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, three of them are in the room here.
You know, not everybody uses blog lines, so I'm sure that people use it.
By the way, for the hacking challenge, I just have to remind everyone of the rules. It's a text file in the C drive root that says I hacked it.
It's an F disk on the C drive. Name the partition I hacked you.
F disk space.
Yeah, we're going to everybody hack it to keep it clean.
Format space.
Or just turn around. We go back and install Linux on it.
Now that would be an challenge.
Yeah.
No, that's not even fun.
You suddenly boot up and find Red Hat there or something. Debian.
Oh, he's got Fedora on the road on the partition, right?
Yeah.
Fedora Core 3 or 2?
1.
1.
Oh. Why don't you put that on? It'll be easier to hack with it. There's a lot of, yeah.
Woo! But you know what? That brings me to my first thing that I wanted to talk about tonight. And that is...
Wow, I'm just tying everything together, aren't I?
Yeah.
Fedora Core 1?
You're
a little late on that.
No, not Fedora Core 1. It brings me to an article in USA Today that popped up this week.
Yeah,
it says unprotected PCs can be hijacked in minutes. Specifically, it says the USA Today put together a computer running XP with Service Pack 1.
It was actually Kevin Mitnick that did it. He set up a little honeypot thing over there in California.
Stuck it up on the web, and it was hacked in 4 minutes. That is cool.
But I've got Service Pack 2, so...
Does that mean it takes 5 minutes or connection.
You don't have any firewall.
I have DMZ'd myself from our firewall here and the router, so I'm outside the router, and the only thing I have running is the Windows default firewall. That's it.
Sir. No.
The stream going on?
No. Not anymore.
Not anymore, sorry.
I couldn't hear any music running in the background.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I didn't check the stream before we started
now
here.
Now we have music running. Now we don't, huh?
That's right.
Okay. This is good as... Let's do another one of those fun textures. But yeah, anyway, the article at USA Today, I'm going to post it in our chat log here. There we go. Check that out. The article says, like I said, they put a computer running XP with Service Pack 1, hung it out on the net, and it was hacked in 4 minutes. So.
They also put a Linux box up there. How long did that take?
It didn't. They couldn't. They didn't hack it.
Okay, cool.
They didn't hack Linux. They didn't hack, let me see if I can find it in the article.
Mac OS X?
Yeah, Mac OS X was in there. And
they had a Service Pack 2 machine, right? Yeah.
Whoa.
I think that one took a long time.
My ears. Ah.
I can't find
hacking it. And slacking and speaking of Slack. Guess they have assigned somebody to maintain security updates while Pat is recuperating.
Well, that's good.
It is good. It's unfortunate, though. I wish. I hope he gets everything taken care of. Bums me out.
Okay, it says, while attempted break-ins never ceased, successful compromises were limited to 9 instances on the minimally protected Windows XP computer and a single break-in of the Windows small business servers. There were no successful compromises of the Macintosh, the Linspire, or the 2 Windows XPs using firewalls, et cetera, et cetera.
Using what?
Firewalls.
Oh, yeah.
So
got the firewall turned on. I'm not going to turn it off. I'm afraid what would happen. I'm very scared.
Probably it wouldn't be one of the... A nice fancy.
And if you guys want to try and hack through the BitTorrent port, you're fine to do that. You know, I've got BitTorrent ports open for Azorius and Shiraza, so go ahead, try and get through those.
He's issuing a challenge.
I got a whole bunch of ports open. Just go any way you want to. I don't care. I'll start a web server on the machine. I don't care. You're not going to be able to do it.
The challenge is open there, people.
Here we go.
Text file on the C drive.
Hackers Unite. We want a text file on the C drive of every machine in his house.
How many machines you have running over there?
9.
Only 9?
Only 9.
I don't feel so bad now. People were looking at me when we used to tell them we had 8 running at one time.
8 what?
8 different machines.
How do you get away with only 8 machines running?
3 running 98, 3 running 90.
No,
most
of
ME.
They either ran Mac or
2000.
They either ran Mac or Linux.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I got another laptop.
Another one.
Another laptop. A Dell Inspiron 7500. Man, that thing's a brick. From my mother-in-law. What was kind of funny is she was saying, well, you know, when you get home, I don't think the modem's configured. So, yeah, I'm not going to use the modem.
I wouldn't worry too much about that.
So yeah. This is running Linux already then, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah, but I haven't... So the thing is, it's right that generation before they started putting the network cards in them.
Okay, so you have to put your own NIC in it.
Yeah, and... What I have to do is I need to just put the sources for WLAN NG on my flash thumb drive. so I could slap it on there and get it right on the wireless directly. Because my dongle has a crack in it, and I don't think it's... I don't think it's not funny.
Well, it is from this side.
Talk about airing your dirty laundry on the, you know, in public.
My dongle has a crack.
My dongle has a crack.
The dongle's got the crack. I got a crack in my dongle. And I don't think it's making a solid connection, so I haven't played around with it. I should have. I did the install, actually. It was one of the only things I did over the break, uh-huh. aside from playing Metroid Prime 2 Echoes.
Athletics question for you.
What's that?
Do any of you use Myth TV?
Pat does.
Yeah, Pat did a whole thing on it about a month ago on Myth TV. I hear a lot of good
things. Just wondering, because I have one of these 9 machines here, pretty old, running Windows 98. Thought I could throw, it's in the family room. Thought I could throw a Myth TV on there and slapware.
You got to have a lot of memory.
Actually, I think if you're going to do Myth TV, one of the easiest ways to get it going is there's a...
Not Myth.
There's Not Myth, but there's also a really great documentation for Fedora, running Fedora with Myth TV.
Right.
And Pat had brought that up. And if Pat, I know, is listening, if he could put that information
on
the
chat. We should have links for it in one of our past shows, too. What was it? Show 50, maybe 51?
That's the sad thing, man. We don't know. And Pat did such a wonderful job of indexing all the shows for us.
For real quick.
Google it.
No, I can just go back through our... We have our shows indexed, so I can go back through them.
As soon as we remember where they are.
I remember where the index is, right?
Something like that.
Switching over to WordPress, too. You'll be happy about that. That's an open source application.
Yeah. You running that yourself, or is that on somebody else's? On you? Are you running that on your server? That you have through...
Me?
Yeah, you. Like, are you running that yourself, or
yeah.
You... Yeah. Okay. How was it with the setup and everything?
It really is like a 2-second install, really. It's insane. Probably took me a day to install.
Crazy.
A 2-second install, man. 2-second setup took you a day to install?
No, movable type is like a day install, and WordPress is like 2 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are you switching from movable type?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay.
Test site is Matthew Bischoff. MatthewBischoff.com/blog is the test site. Go ahead, Link.
No, that can't be right. Never mind.
Let's go, man. Speed it up a little bit. You're killing everybody. You're what? You're wigging out there. You whiz. Should we move on to a different topic while Link kills us all?
Yeah. What's your next topic?
How about Ubuntu PPC? I did the install.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right before the show.
Awesome.
I just installed it. That's why I was over here click-clacking away. I'll tell you what.
And your 30-second impressions are?
My 30-second impression of the install process as I left to go get sodas at the Wawa was... It was the easiest installation I've ever done on PPC. Easier than Yellow Dog. More straightforward than Yellow Dog, but it was very kind of scary, too, at the same time. Because...
What, because it was working?
Well, I think what scared me the most about it was the partitioning part, which was a straightforward partitioning. And you always hear over and over again how... The partitioning part of any Linux install or any install is the most harrowing part or the biggest stumbling block for the majority of users.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm used to using FDisk to partition, so I'm accustomed to using FDisk.
Right.
I'm accustomed to using CFDisk. When you start getting into the graphical menu-based partitioners...
Partitioning?
Yeah, it kind of... I get a little nervous about that, and Ubuntu has a menu-based partitioner. I think it's almost like an NCurses type thing,
mm-hmm.
And it was very straightforward. It was a little more confusing, I think, than what I'm used to, because when I clicked on a when I actually selected a partition, it was kind of hard to see the mount point because I installed it over top of my Crux stuff, just did a straight install, and it picked up the Linux partitions I already set aside, like my EXT3 and my riser partition. But it didn't, like, when you click on that partition, when you select that partition, there wasn't an easy way, or it didn't say, what do you want to make it the mount point for? And I was under the impression that once I partitioned it, like other distributions that I'm used to, particularly Slackware, I go on to the next step, which would be, what do you want to assign your mount points to? But this wasn't like that. You actually kind of had to either delete it, and I forget what the option was, but there was another option in there that if you didn't want to delete the partition, you can go in, and there's another option, which wasn't as apparent as, like, hey, configure this partition. It was worded differently, and I'll have to look in their documentation. I'm sure they have it listed in there. But I got past that, and, of course, you have all the warnings that say, well, if you write this to your disk, if you deleted any partitions or play with any partitions, you'll lose all your data in them. And I'm like, man, this is... But particularly when I use this workstation, this laptop, every day at work, and I can't have any downtime with this. It's like, yeah, okay, click through it. But after
that... Close your eyes and click.
I mean, after that, essentially what happened was I set up my partitions, and it installed. It went through this install all itself, rebooted, asked me if I wanted to check for updates. I checked for updates, asked me to create a user account. I created a user account. I don't recall it asking me for the root password.
It didn't.
And that threw me. Because that really did. Because what it happened didn't. Was I kind of, you know, I should have realized that this was going to be a problem. But when it installed and I set my user as my old, you know, my username, Dan, which uses the same thing in Crux, it didn't set the permissions to the home, to the Dan directory under home, to my new user. So... When it first came up in X, it automatically boots into run level 5. I'd log in, and they only has GNOME on there, GNOME.
Right.
It would bounce back with an error message saying there's, you know, you only logged in for 10 seconds. It wouldn't let me log in. So I bumped into a failsafe mode down in the terminal. And of course, first thing I saw was couldn't access .bashrc because it didn't have permissions.
Right.
So then I'm like, ah, that's easy fix. SU to root. There's no root password. I can't get into root. So I'm like, I don't remember setting a root password. Maybe when it asked me to set my username, it was a root password, and I was, you know, going too fast,
There's no root account.
I'm typing away. I'm trying all my passwords I can think of, and then I'm going down. Well, maybe they set it to root for root, but that really is piss poor design. And then I'm like, well, maybe it's Ubuntu, and then I'm like, well, I'm going to SSH over to my main workstation, links on the Google, see what I can find out about this. And apparently, I'm reading that...
sudo to
right, but
shell.
How do you sudo to a root account if you don't have a root password?
Because sudo uses your password for your account.
Oh,
so
is that...
you log in as Dan with your password, you do sudo space sh for shell, that'll give you a root shell.
Uh-huh.
It'll ask you for your password again.
Oh, is that what it did? Because actually what I did is I rebooted into run level 1, set the password, and then ended up the 4, and I log in. Now I'm using GNOME. And now I'm trying to, you know, get apt-get window maker and some other
my sudo and put your password
managers.
In and get to a shell. And once you're in a super user shell, you can issue the password command and put a root password in there, which will let you log in as in the root account.
But I'm saying I'm really liking Ubuntu. I mean,
and I know this why, because
really
I read
sweet.
The damn website, not that I read the actual operating. I do want to check. I got to check that out, though.
It's really, really, really sweet. I'm very impressed with it. I am very impressed. I'm going to try and check out the package management system. Of course, I'm not big on using package
it's
management
Debian.
Systems.
It's a Debian thing, so it's apt-get and
Synaptic. Yeah,
it is
apt-get. It's Synaptic, but coming from Slackware, where I know where to find the packages I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can use apt-get. I mean, I could use Swaret.
Right.
And I can find a package that I want to download really easily. Apt-get, you know, I'm not used to using it, so it's like, well, I want this package, but I got to know the exact name to use.
Yeah.
Or I got to do some searching, and I'm not sure how to do searching because I do apt-get help, and there's no search feature listed there.
Right.
So it's like, well, what do I use to search? Is it DP, what is it, DPKG or something like that? How do I search for the package I want? I'm not up on my apt-get or the Debian package system. But For a Debian-based distribution, this has been the easiest install I've ever done.
Cool.
It's fast, too. It came up really fast. It configured all my devices for me. It was really beautiful. It got the USB mouse, the scroll wheels enabled. It's really fantastic.
So like a hot plug thing? You just plugged it in and it was going?
The hot plug came up and detected it. It's
awesome.
It's already set up in X.
Dude.
I'm liking it. Ubuntu, fantastic.
I tell you what,
job.
I really like the... I have not installed it yet, and you know, because I probably really don't have anything to put it on, but I really want
Matt's trying to squeeze something in edgewise.
Go ahead, man. Hello,
Matt. Matt.
Hello, man.
Matt.
Hello.
Matt.
Are you still connected?
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Hey, Matt, the episode you're looking for is episode 53, man.
Thanks.
The Linux Link Tech Show. We talk, actually, Pat's on there, and I think he talks a whole lot about all of those. Nop Myth and Myth TV. And
Catch.
Yep.
Cash.
How he set it up and using Fedora. Yeah. So.
Cool.
You can check that right out. That'll hook you up.
All right, I'm going to get going. Link, see
you. All right, you have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye. And by the way, all the rest of you Vine listeners out there, we are actually taking calls from, you know, that was Matt Bischoff from Escape from the World. And we are actually taking calls from people. So if you want to, you know, call us during the show, call us during the show. Our Skype username is, Alan?
The Linux Link Tech Show.
The Linux Link Tech Show. All one word, right?
All one word.
It's all one
registered
word.
Trademark.
Nah. Yeah, but it's the Linux Link Tech Show, and of course we do broadcast this thing live on Wednesdays between 9 and 10 Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
Oh, you know what? This is the first distribution that set the clock properly.
Really?
It did. I have actual real time.
Well, you had a problem. Like, I didn't have a problem with Yellow Dog that I was running. So.
But for some reason, it was always installing. When it would come up like Greenwich Mean Time, even though I set the time zone. It was always 5 or 6 hours off. Really weird. But this one did it. Fantastic job. Ubuntu, yeah.
Ooh, Ubuntu gets the thumbs up from Dan.
Thumbs up.
I fully intend on trying that. Because I did set up that website, ppclinux.org. I don't think anybody's using it, though. You know,
I'd like to get around to doing it. So. Definitely. I definitely would like to get around to doing it. So Ubuntu. Now, I had to take my phone over to Verizon today to get it replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that it would just be a simple 5-minute job. But they said I had to come back in an hour. All right. So I left. I could have gone back to work, but it would take me a half an hour to get back to work. At which point I was like, you know, then I have to come back again, so total driving time would be an hour. I'm just going to go over to Borders, look around over there, and, you know, then I'll go back. So I went over to Borders, and I'm looking around the book section. Of course, I hit the DVDs, the books, and then the magazines. So I thought, well, if I blow through here, I could just pick up a copy of Linux Format or something, read it in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking through the Linux Format and Linux Developer and Linux Magazine, the UK stuff, because I already have all the United States mags. And nothing really caught my eye in the articles, but they did have a review of Ubuntu in there. And for how much everybody's raving about it, I don't think they gave it that high of a score. I mean, it got a lot of sevens, and I think the install process or whatever was like a 6. I forget the exact one, but it didn't really stand out like, woo!
See, you know what it is, though? I noticed that, too. But if you really stop and look at it, they're giving it like a 7 or 8 out of 10, right?
Right.
But it's getting a 7 or 8 out of 10 in every category.
Yeah.
Now, other types of other versions of Linux that come out, they might get a 9 or a 10 out of 10 in some instances, but in other portions, they're getting like a 2 or 3. So what's making this such a big deal for people is that...
It's very consistent.
Yeah, that it's a 7 or 8 out of 10 in every area. And evidently, I mean, I haven't had a chance to install it yet, but evidently it's a really easy ease of installation and ease of functionality kind of Linux to deal with. Which also brings me to, is it Meepus or Meepus? Meepus Linux?
Yeah, Meepus, I think.
My dad is using that. My dad is not, I mean, my dad's like, you know, a pretty tech-savvy kind of person, but he's not a computer programmer sort of person, you know what I mean? He definitely is a computer user, you know? Not a power user, just a desktop, you know, a computer desktop user. And I went over for to New York for Thanksgiving to visit, and I walked in. The first thing I noticed on his computer running X Screensaver, so he's got Linux installed on. He did it all by himself.
Well, that's good. There,
he's got all this stuff. He used Meepus Linux. He said it was really easy to install and configure. He got his camera. He's got a digital camera. He got that plugged in and working. You know, all by himself. He's got, you know, KDE up for his desktop, and his printer's going, Lexmark printer, he's got up and running on it. And, I was really impressed with that. And not only was I impressed with my dad, I was impressed with Meepus for making it possible for him to do that without any extemporaneous help, you know?
Why don't you hook your dad up with your father-in-law and you can give him some pointers there?
Well, my father-in-law is a different story. I just went over and installed it on his computer. I installed Slackware.
You gave him no choice.
Yeah, I installed Slackware on there, and I alone have the root password, and that's the way it's going to stay. And, by the way, his computer's been working for how many months now, my father-in-law's? When did I do that? That was a long time ago. Anyway,
over the summer, I think it was.
Yeah, so we're looking probably around 6 months. And it's still going. And I would have had to reinstall at least twice by now, I'm sure. So I'm happy with it.
So all in all, man,
it's good.
Is anybody using Zandros? Is that how it is pronounced, Zandros?
I think my dad might have used it. He told me that he tried several distributions, and that this was the one that he got along with the best. And he rattled them off, man. He used SUSE, which was too big and cumbersome, and he tried Fedora that didn't work and didn't hook up to some of his hardware and didn't like his video card and because he's got an NVIDIA card. And I guess it was just a snap for him to get it working under Meepus. So, and he tried, there's a couple other ones he tried too, and some little off names kind of stuff. He didn't do Slackware, but, you know, that's all right. I'm just happy that he got, you know, he's got Linux running on his thing all by himself. That was really cool.
That's great.
You know, like I said in my blog, man, if he can do it, anybody can do it. Any regular desktop user should be able to get that far along. And I really wish that that he had tried doing it with Ubuntu, because I would have loved to have seen, you know, if that was the deal for him too. But I keep talking and talking and talking. No one else can get anything. And also, it's 35 after. We want to play some music.
Time for song, yeah.
Hold on.
I'm gonna tell everybody that things are not well yet for Patrick Volkerding. For those
brought
of you,
that up there in the beginning, didn't we?
No. That was last time. For those of you Slackware fans.
No, I mean, I brought that up that he's not. He's passed on the main team. I know, but go ahead. You have more.
You've been bringing up all those all night.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, Patrick Volkerding, the founder and maintainer of Slackware, is still not doing very well. I will, of course, pop this link into our chat log so that you can read his latest post. It's very unfortunate. All my well wishes, at least, go out to Patrick and his family, and I sincerely hope that...
Wait, is that the latest post? Like, what do you mean, latest post?
On Thursday, November 25th. At 5:14:42 Pacific. Starts out, Netcraft does not yet confirm it. Again, everyone, I wish I could report I'm doing great and we'll be back to full health soon, but can't. So he's still doing, he's still not doing good. He's got doctors, haven't figured out what the hell's wrong with him yet. However, he's having chest pains and heart palpitations and mitral valve prolapse, he says, which is not good. And he's, like, fainting and all kinds of just nasty stuff, man. And I just, you know, I surely hope that he gets feeling better soon. Gets appropriate medical treatment.
Yeah, definitely.
That just sucks.
Yes.
But, and then we also got the, do you have your, whatever you were going to say, Dan?
No, we can take a break. I was just, getting things going here. With,
getting things done?
Ubuntu, playing around with it.
Oh, okay.
I figured, you know, well.
All right, guys. Well, listen, for our break, at the behest of Pat, who posted this information in our forums, which you should read if you're not, he sent a link directing me to Beatallica, which is...
No, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, these guys are awesome. Beatallica. It's Beatallica.org. These guys are a cross between the Beatles and Metallica, and I'm going to play...
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're awesome, man. I'm going to play... Their music's right available for download at BitTorrent files. You can just go and grab it. Really, really great, funny stuff. I'm going to play you two songs, one from each of their albums that are available for download. And that would be...
We have a request for Leopard Madonna.
Oh, no. I got two other ones. Let me see which ones I have. In the queue we have Injustice for All My Loving. And then the next song is I Want to Choke Your Band. So anyway... Lean back for approximately the next 4 minutes and listen to these fine songs by Beatallica. That's not the right one.
Here's today's, because Cat made it.
That's the right one.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you.
This is Kevin, host of In the Trenches, the podcast for sysadmins.
What you get for hitting the wrong button?
Linux Link Tech Show. Long live OS X.
There you go. Here's the second one.
Oh, yeah. Off, man. The CC, no mistake.
This is Pete from Wisconsin. And when I'm not milking cows, I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Hi, I'm Matti from Finland, and I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show when I'm not wrestling with polar bears.
Yeah, Matty.
Alan's milking the bull.
I just hate, like, man, I really got in a funk today or something because I keep fat-fingering my... You know, I got one of the touchpad things on my Dell laptop, and every time I go to grab another window, I'm whacking a damn thing, and it starts up another audio file, so that's why they keep dropping out, because it's my fault. I'm retarded.
Yeah, this is the good episode.
Why? Because I'm a retard. That's why.
Why?
Well, we got Link. Have you considered adding BitTorrent support to Bash Potter? That would be cool. Except there's no freaking way to turn it off, man.
Turn what off? BitTorrent?
BitTorrent.
When it starts running?
Yeah.
Or you just wait till it finishes.
Control. It never finishes. That's Control the thing. C. It just keeps uploading it, you know.
Well, yeah, that's right, because once you start going, it's doing the downloading.
Plus,
the
you know, if you use BitTorrent, if you're using BitTorrent to grab the podcast feed, if you're not actually there to watch it, you could, like every now and then I grab some off of BitTorrent. I start it up, and it's like, you know, a 4-meg file. It's saying it wants 200 freaking hours to download or something like that. That's crazy, man, you know. You need to wait a little bit later and try when there's some more people doing stuff. And
I have to actually try it now that I have two-way cable. I can actually do these things.
You have to have what is it called, seeding? You have to have a lot of seeds.
A lot of seeds, yeah, in order to get it to download quickly.
And if you don't use Bash Potter like on a daily basis,
right,
and check your fees, man. There are some that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those seeds go away, and then you're like, I'm sorry, Alan, I rudely cut you off.
Oh, it's not a problem at all. You normally do that.
But, yeah, that's the problem with adding stuff like BitTorrent to Bash Potter. I don't think, personally, anyway, and, you know, since I'm the guy that hosts and runs the software, I don't think it's a good idea to have BitTorrent just automatically fire off and waste all of your all bandwidth. Or mine, for that matter, as a matter of fact. Not that, you know, not that there aren't feeds out there that come through on BitTorrent that I don't get via BitTorrent, but I will just do it manually. It only takes a second, man. You know what I mean? If you really want the thing, just fire it off yourself. I'm still considering, though.
Well, I think BitTorrent is good when you're publishing stuff. I'm not sure where it helps in Bash Potter all that much.
Well, it's just, you know, people want their stuff downloaded automatically, and they get that BitTorrent, and they wanted that BitTorrent download the file. But the problem with the Linux clients, which is like BitTornado, right, is the download clients, like BT Download Curses or something like that, there's no mechanism to shut the damn things off when you're done downloading. And, I mean, the entire setup behind BitTorrent is people are supposed to leave their BitTorrent clients open
all the time,
to host the files off to the rest of humanity, you know? And, like, you know, if you're getting a whole lot of files through a podcast or something like that, and this is why I don't understand why they ever did this. If you're getting files through a podcast or something like that, like, don't you want to get the damn files and, you know, be done with it? If you have, you know, let's say you have a BitTorrent running, and you don't shut it off because you don't really know when to shut it off, when it's done downloading this stuff, or when you should shut it off, which is after you upload the same amount of megabytes you downloaded so someone else can get it. It's sitting there running, hogging up your bandwidth. Well, while that's hogging up your bandwidth, you're trying to download 14 other MP3 files from other shows that you want to listen to, and which makes it take, you know, 50 times as long. So why not just put the damn MP3 files up for download and let people get them? That's what I say. Or leave the BitTorrent files and let people, you know, manually get the BitTorrent files if they want them, when they want to get them.
Well, I think they're all working on the fact that it's eventually the older files, you know, will just fall off the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, if you got stuff from 2 weeks ago, chances are there isn't going to, you know, if everybody's using BitTorrent, there's not going to be that many people downloading that last one from 2 weeks ago.
I mean, it will. Eventually, I'll probably work something in there. But even after I work something in, I'm not sure that I would actually use it, you know, because I want more control over this stuff.
You know what I think one of the problems would be? And I see Bash Potter as being good to go right out of the box without having to do any kind of, like, mess around with it. If you did include BitTorrent compatibility,
then you got to make sure that people have the BitTorrent installed. Yeah.
You'd actually have to go in and start messing around with configuration.
Yep. And it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It's another thing. And that's why, you know, the history of the thing is that's why I did Bash Potter. Because they had a couple other clients out at the time that I tried to use, but they were Perl and Python clients that you had to download modules for.
Yeah.
I don't want to piss with that stuff. You know, why can't you just write some? This is what I hate about Perl. Why can't you just write some freaking software that when you put the program on your computer, it runs? You don't have to piss around with CPAN or and what's worse about CPAN is like you got to get configured to be able to get the stuff from CPAN first. So you got to answer that list of 900 questions in the beginning and all that. Nah. Just a little tiny crappy, you know, and I've heard people complain about Bash Potter a couple times. No, it's not very featureful. It's an automatic client, you know?
CPAN has always, like, worked for me with the exception of, like, you go through those questions and you pretty much just hit enter for all the questions.
Right.
And then pick one, you know, whatever place you want to download shit from. What kills me is it hangs, one of the FTP clients, and I don't remember because I haven't used it right off the top of my head, hangs every single time. And what I end up having to do is I'll have to, like, wait for it to time out. Or I'll have to wait for like 2 minutes or so, and then control C, and then it'll flip to another one of the clients to download, and then it'll work.
Right.
And you get caught in this loop all the time. And I've gone through and I've redone the questions, told it that I don't have that program, and it will insist on wanting to download everything through this program the first time. And I don't know if it's just stupidity on my part or what the hell it is.
But here's the thing, though.
You go.
Why do you want to have... I mean, like, we downloaded Perl is on the computer, right? Got Perl on the computer. We go out and get a Perl program because we want to run that Perl program. Download that on our computer. Now we have Perl, the interpreter, and Perl, the program that we want. And we run the program, and the program calls modules for Perl the interpreter and Perl the program that are not already included in one or the other. Why the hell do you want to play with that? You know what I mean? It's an endless cycle. And then, you know, then they have the mod, people do upgrades on them and stuff like that. I mean, I can understand where it's a valuable tool, but if you're going to write an end user software thing, you know, like include it all in one package.
Yeah.
So that it runs, you know, like you have Perl on your system, you download the program and it runs. There's no other extra downloading bits and pieces, and that's just a pain. But anyway,
what are you gonna do?
I just keep yakking. What am I gonna do? I
like CPAN.
Do you?
I don't do much Perl, but when I do, I use CPAN. And it's made a lot of stuff, particularly like Spam Assassin, installing that really easy.
It's like the apt-get for Perl.
The apt-get for Perl.
I like
CPAN.
Well,
I guess it is, yes.
I do. You definitely have to go. And every time you upgrade Perl, you got to go through to CPAN configuration.
The only one that I've ever really had problems with getting stuff, I mean, besides that little one with the control seeing all the time, is DVD rip. Because there's one module in there that only compiles well, if you happen to have GNOME, the developer version of GNOME installed.
Right.
Because it's always looking for this one script on it. And I finally just got it up and running on the laptop because I don't have GNOME development installed. Or at least if I do, I don't have that stupid file that it was looking for. And there's a long workaround you have to end up doing it where you have to like manually install this package, then compile this one, then compile this one. You have to do it in a certain order, and then it will actually work. And I can't remember whether it's one of the
what the hell is he talking about?
PixBuff, I think, is what it is.
Oh, PixBuff.
Yeah.
What were you trying to compile?
DVD rip.
DVD rip.
And even though
don't
PixBuff,
you have PixBuff?
Yeah, but it doesn't. When you try to get it off of CPAN, it doesn't look at the one that you have. And I didn't know of an easy way of making it look for the one I have, because I don't know where it's looking for, because I don't know Perl enough to figure this out. So it was a pain in the ass to install for me. But
pain in the ass, yep, that sums it up. Oh, boy. Hey, yeah.
What?
Did you hear that the Linux show is on its deathbed?
Really?
The throes of death.
Wait, who said it's on the deathbed?
Jeff Gerhardt.
Who's Jeff Gerhardt?
He's the guy that runs the show.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Gerhardt. And I was the only person on this team here that listened to the Linux show used to be regularly. Why is it on its deathbed? Because I'm so far out of loop with everything.
Here's the deal from the NewsForge article that I am currently reading right at the moment. Let me post it in the thing first before I forget. Post the link. There's the link.
Man, freaking new Scribus is out.
Yeah.
Inkscape, Scribus, Naughty Potty, and Gimp.
Jeff Gerhardt announced at the top of the show last night, of course, last night was a Linux show, that the show is coming to an end with only three more broadcasts to come before it becomes only memory. Gerhardt explained that normally the TLS, this is the Linux show, not the Linux Link Tech show, gets a third of its expenses covered through vendor support, another third from listener donations, and the final third coming from an ISP that he is part owner of. Gerhardt noted that if by some miracle an angel with 20...
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, you guys can read the article. Find it off the link that I put on the IRC. He noted if by some miracle an angel with $25,000 to give the show appeared, it could stay around. He said he's assuming that is not going to happen.
So, I'll send him a Dynabolic CD.
No shit. That's my whole... the last show over there is scheduled for December 21st. And as much as I talk bad about those guys over at the Linux show, because they really mostly have been dicks to us. By the way, Doc and Russ, either one of you guys want to ever talk on the show, man, you got my full attention. But I do wanna say that I was an avid listener of the Linux show, and that was sort of an inspiration of mine why I wanted to get this thing together. I said, hey, they're doing that. Maybe we could do that and add a little bit more content into the open source forum. And that's why we started. And of course, then after that, shortly thereafter, the
Lug Radio.
Lug Radio.
I listened to all three episodes over the break.
Lug Radio and Slug Radio.
Now you're only one behind because there's another one out.
Shut up.
Like I said, I do have an enormous amount of respect for the show, even though we have a difference of opinion on several things.
Well, I guess Doc.
What's nice?
Doc's on a lot of other stuff too.
Doc is doing IT conversations and all kinds of other stuff he's into. So,
if you go down in the comments on it, we're like the first one to listen to.
Yeah,
other shows
down in the comments. They a lot of people are saying, "So what?"
A lot of the comments and
negative guys. People that have had conversations with some people over there, pretty much in agreement with me. But like I said, they were doing a hell of a job for a long time. I wish they had moved up, a little bit with us when we started doing this kind of stuff and gets a little bit more fresh content. Yeah, they had some stale stuff going on over there. And then they have Eric Raymond on every day, who's like some kind of guy, I don't know. I love you, Eric, but you got to be some kind of open source Nazi or something, man. I'm telling you. I still want to have Eric on the show, though. He's
not that far away.
I know. He's close too. We got to have him on sometime.
If the Linux,
now that you hear me, probably
if
will never come.
The Linux show is going down. Since you're more up on this than I am, and I've basically been staying away from all that crap. I don't know why, but. If the Linux show is going down, what's happening to the Linux Daily and the Australian Linux show?
Whatever happened to the Linux Daily?
Right, I'm just wondering, is that...
They never did happen, did they? The Linux Daily, what,
it
for
started
2 days?
Off.
So it was daily for 2 days, 3 days, and that was it. The Australian Linux show, did that even ever start?
But it started off.
No, I don't think it did.
Then whoever was like doing their technical aspect of it got sick, and then...
Well, here's what I don't understand. Like, Jefferson, he needs like $25,000 to keep the Linux show going. What the hell, man?
Yeah, we spend, quite understood it.
We spend 15... Folks, listen. We do a live show every week for over an hour, just like they do. And we spend $15 a month.
Well, all right, well, give credit where credit's due. To the game, give them a little credit. They, I think, yeah, I think one of the highest costs that they have is that it's basically a call in. Everybody calls in.
Yeah, well, that's what I think it is,
and
too.
And I'm sure they're... Those people aren't paying it out of their pocket.
They're paying like the
an 800 number
phone bills for the 800 number conference call. But like, this is my point altogether. Like,
if Doc Searles calls in from his cell phone,
right?
I'm sure the Linux show pays for that cell phone call.
Probably,
and
yeah.
that has to cost a lot of money.
Sure,
because they're all doing that on a weekly basis.
But
except
why
for
not?
Jeff.
You know what? If they want to do the show, why not just get into agreement that they need to be someplace that has some connectivity so they could use a voice over IP application. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a devastating thing if one of those guys can't make it to a show. I'm sure they could come. You know, one of us doesn't make it to a show. Hell, two of us haven't made it to a show. And we still had the Conan episode, you know? But, you know, if someone can't make it, just, you know, continue on and ride it out. And for those people who can get somewhere, why don't they just use a voice over IP application so that they didn't have so high of an expenditure? That's what I don't understand. So high of an expenditure. And and as far as the bandwidth cost, man, that's just, you know, I heard him quote me, you know, $5,000 or something for bandwidth, and that's just, you know, that's way out there. You know, way. Because, like, you know, we get what, 50 gig for $15 a month.
Yeah, but they're...
Matt Bishop,
I think they're talking
provider
live
does 75
streaming,
gig.
Live streaming bandwidth.
That's still bandwidth, man.
Right, live
How
streaming.
Fat a pipe, you know?
Right. Hey,
Our pipe is what? It's, we're
I
on
don't
T3s
know.
Or something like that? That's
I mean, plus
good.
They also had enough clout in the industry to get some big-name guests. And I don't know, maybe if we ask some of those people, hey, would you call in? But then, you know, do we want somebody calling in from California and saying, yeah, we'll call in? But that's right, we wouldn't cost anything with Skype.
Right, we're hooked up with Skype. You know, if you want to call in and talk, go ahead, man. Call right in and talk. And we would love to hear from people from where, you know, wherever the hell you happen to be. Yeah, I know it's difficult to get a hold of us because of the time that we're in. You know, like we have English listeners and Australian listeners and stuff like that, and they're, you know, 5 hours out in the future from 9 to like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning kind of stuff.
Well, I don't know, man. They have supposedly 75,000 listeners live. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's...
That would suck up a lot of bandwidth.
That'd suck up a lot of bandwidth. But, you know, there's still other ways to do it.
I don't know.
I think, you know, I think they could rework, if they really wanted to, they could rework things and keep going, you know. I'd love to give them an opportunity to continue their forum on with us if they wanted to. And, you know, just Skype right in and call us and, what the hell, we'll all talk together, you know. Same thing extends for our buddies over there at Lug Radio, who you should be listening to, too.
Screw Lug Radio. I want Slug Radio.
Yeah, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning for them, so it's a little early for them to be up talking to us.
But,
guys in California, hell, it's only, you know.
In the situation like that, when a Linux show has to cancel itself, what happens to all that money they receive from sponsors? You pig. What happens to all the money they receive from sponsors? Do they have to give that back then?
Probably not. Well, it depends on what kind of contract they had, you know?
Who knows? I don't know.
Because we don't have any freaking sponsors.
Yeah, we don't have a sponsor. So we still got Lug Radio on the air to fill up the gap that the Linux show creates.
For us.
That's a shame, though. No,
It is.
We,
you know,
we should have Radio Shack because that's all our equipment.
As much as we have all had issues with it openly, like myself, or closed, like most other people, issues with the people over there. It still is a shame that the show's going down.
How dare.
Even though
burping on the show is considered humorous. Burping on any show is considered humorous.
That's right.
Yeah. That's too bad, man. What a bummer.
It is.
You know what?
People keep typing things on the IRC chat, but I am not paying attention because it's on my other screen.
They could just podcast the Linux show. It wouldn't cost them anything.
Exactly. Well, it'll cost them initial.
But you know what? Podcasting BitTorrent feed.
Sure.
Of
there you
the
go.
Linux show. If there's 75,000 people that listen, that would be a phenomenal BitTorrent. If you get 10% of those people.
But in order to do the show, they've got to drop that high expensive phone setup that they're using, you know, with the AT&T conference call thing that's costing them so much money, and go to something like Skype or something like that. Now, they got, 5 guys, right, that are all going together on this thing? You can get 5 people on it. Didn't Matthew Bishop say the other day you can get, 5 or 9 people or something like that on a...
On a Skype call? Yeah.
On a Skype call.
Would they have to do Skype? Because they put in the asterisk... They have the asterisk BBX.
Well, they have that, then all they need is...
Use that. I don't know how much that can
cost. They have those phone adapters, man, that you can do voice over IP with. And, you know, they should be able to set something up like that. What do you think? Just, you know... Rattling off the top of my head, I guess. But it is a shame. Even though I don't listen to them much anymore, that doesn't mean that I don't think that they should still be doing what they're doing. So, and that is that. It's a sad thing. And
we can invite them to come join our show.
I just did. I said, if anyone wants to call us up anytime, man. Call us up, email us. I tell you what, you guys from the Linux show, you can email me anytime about anything you want, and I will not be anywhere near as rude to you as you have been to me. That's a promise.
Email the tech show.
That is a promise. Yeah,
they email us. You, and then nobody
else knows about it. So,
and I can't see it in my junk mail filter.
You can email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net, and I will still read it, even though Dan won't, because he doesn't read his email.
I read my email. I just don't respond. I saw your email. I was like, I should respond. No, I'll respond.
Link's got it covered, man.
I'll respond on the tech show. Uh-huh. There, how's that sound? Why haven't I done anything? Because I've been playing Metro. That's why. And helping Alan move.
Well, listen.
Yes,
I got,
thank you very much.
Bust a cap in his ass.
We're like way over time here, but I have a new segment I wanted to share with y'all, and I wanted you to write us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and tell me if you want to continue with this.
Wait, before you go into your new segment.
Okay.
Because I want this to be a profile segment here of something really beautiful that, you know, Alan and I guess have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, really
so I don't want to detract anything from your segment that you haven't informed the rest of us that you're going to do.
Well, I like surprises, though.
Yeah. Just like when I did that Mozilla thing versus the Lug. The tech show. Mozilla versus the tech show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but we were all in that. We just had no clue what we were doing.
Anyway. Just quick question about podcasts. Have you guys still been listening to podcasts?
Yeah.
I mean, because
when I find my iPod again.
I've gotten so far behind that basically what I did was hit the delete key and delete a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I noticed, now, I really enjoy the stuff from, who is it? The Gnome Deck stuff. The digital identity conference stuff the speakers that come through to politics and IT law and IT stuff like that. Have you listened to any of that stuff?
No.
I forget who puts it. You're listening to.
I listen to some of the Gnome Deck stuff.
I listen to Eric Rice. I listen to Matt Bischoff, Dave Slusher, and occasionally Adam and Drew and Dawn and Drew, but. I've really had to cull a lot of stuff out.
Oh, I trashed hundreds of things.
I mean, a lot of the daily source
Coverville
code, too,
is cool.
And I'm not too keen on trade secrets, mm-hmm. unfortunately. It's just not my bag. So I enjoy it.
Mine either.
But there's other things I enjoy more that I've found.
One of the things
I found was hard is I go looking through the RSS, the conf file for Bashpotter, and I'm like, what the hell show is that?
Yep.
What show? You know, I don't want to listen to the show anymore or get it. How do I get rid of it out of my feed? What feed is it? And they're just like really whacked out names on some of those feeds. You have a show that's not part of the domain, you know, it has no relation to the domain that it's hosted on. How do you figure that out? I don't know. That's one of my complaints with the podcasting feed, stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's been tough to figure that out. And I got some weird stuff. I started listening to Binary Revolution. Did you read that?
I haven't heard that one.
That is really good. I was like really concerned that it might kind of suck. Like, there was a couple of feeds where it's just all music,
mm-hmm.
some weird funky music, and I thought maybe that's what it would be. But Binary Revolution is Bin Rev. Skank Dog, I think his name is. From
you got me, man.
From 2600 and... What is it?
Pat says, how about Link's friend does the Linux, the Linux log? Linux.
Yeah,
Linux.
Hacker Magazine's Skank Dog, I think his name is. Fantastic podcast. I like that. Very good.
Yeah, we were going to take a run up to the local 2600 meeting.
We should go do that sometime. I'd be really interested in doing that.
Which reminds me, that new Panera, you can get wireless there, too. So that new Panera Bread on 33.
Is that free wireless?
It's what it said on the door.
We should have our meetings from now on.
Here we go.
Two more things.
Guessing from Panera Bread.
Two more things for you in your profile.
There you go.
Speaking of that guy who says Linux, I really think that somebody out there should compile a page and maybe some sound files of how to correctly pronounce some stuff.
That'd I played it on our show.
No,
just
not,
send
not
our
just
show,
that,
man.
But, you know, is it GNOME? Is it GNOME? What is it? I don't know. I hear people pronounce it both ways. Is it Debian? Is it Debian? You say Debian, everybody gets all over your ass about it, but then you got to say Debian. You know, it'd be nice for some of these things to have
you
a pronunciation.
Say Debian, I say Debian.
And, and finally, CP
Debian,
Lug.
Debian.
CP Let's Lug. If you're in the central Pennsylvania area, somewhere around Harrisburg, they're having that security conference.
Mm-hmm.
So check them out, cplug.net. Did you sign up for that?
Not yet, but I believe I'm going to, especially since I'm going to make you give me a ride.
I look forward to that. March 5th, I think it is, that
yes.
they're holding that. March 5th,
Saturday,
CP Lug.
Right? Yeah.
And you know what? It's kind of like I look at that and say, damn, look what they're doing. They got mm-hmm. all these great things coming in, a full day of security. Why the hell isn't our lug doing something like that?
Well,
what's wrong with our lug?
Because our lug is sitting here doing our broadcast, all three of us.
See, lately, we are the lug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Go shoot.
Let me do the thing here real quick. And like I said, make sure. Listen, guys. Everybody's listening to this. Got to write us back at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Because if you don't write us back and tell me it was funny and it's worth doing, I'm going to can it. But here's my idea. Every day I get a crap load of spam. All right.
Spam.
And I go through. You know, I do the same thing every day. I get home from work. And I go through the spam, and I just, you know, delete it and blah, blah, blah. I just hit whack the delete key over and over and over again. And a lot of times, you know, I'll read through the piece of the subject line that it's containing just to make sure that it doesn't look like something that maybe came from one of my crazy relatives, right? So I'll read through. And, of course, all the subject lines are concatenated because I have this big block that says spam in front of it that comes from Dan's server. And I was reading down through these a couple days ago.
What's
and
wrong
I said,
with the spam coming from my server?
Nothing. I was reading down through the list a
Get
couple
your
days
daily
ago.
Dose of spam.
The way it's concatenated, and you know, some of the things sounded kind of funny. So I figured I would come up with a little thing where I read off what my spam looks like, and I would read it just the way that I scanned through it down, you know, down my list, concatenated it all, and it was pretty funny. And I recorded it and. I will continue to do so for your entertainment if you like it. So please let me know again at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And here it is, the new little segment called Concatenated Spam.
Waiting.
Shut up.
Waiting.
And here is today's Concatenated Spam. You might have spyware, easy to make gifts with everyone. Let me know what 70% of Java developers use dietitian appointment. Entire store, complimentary mortgage, no prescription needed. Discounted healthcare, America is giving away. Are you happy with your country? First time available, you need to cope with the pain? Try this new stress relief product, your girlfriend. Everyone need this, Dan, 50,000 visas to the USA. Live in the USA, official government program, enlarge your penis now. Dear Santa, your last opportunity, miracle protein kills all viruses. Order Rolex, loosen the interest headache, weight loss, Cialis, without valuable products. Cheapest Viagra, ball the messenger on a complimentary Apple iPod. We sell you direct from the source, zero cost, except major credit card. Ask Santa business offers, super huge offers. Dan has $129,598 for your family. Try a free bottle of personalized medical stock to own for $2,005. Binoculars to take pictures for women. And soft tabs, e-term family insurance. Reserve $465,473 at record lows.
And that is today's Concatenated Spam.
And there it is.
But wouldn't it be the same every day?
Today's Concatenated Spam. No, I get all kinds of... And I read it like right in order, you know? The stuff that I got from
you. Know, not only do we have you cut us off at 10, now you got your wife on the chat yelling at us to cut off at 10.
Oh, boy.
Children. She said, do you know where your children are? Is there something we should know?
I don't
know. Because I know of a child, but not children.
You have children.
I have children, but she said, Link, do you know where your children are?
Well.
I'm like, I don't.
I only have one that I know of.
1-800, who's my daddy?
Damn you, 1-800, who's your daddy, Dan?
Yeah. Daddy.
Who's your daddy?
Oh, man.
Okay. Anyway.
Is that...
I think that we're rapping, man.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody. Thanks for...
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening.
This hour.
Thanks for your support to the Linux show.
Yeah. Please continue listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Without listeners like you, we would still be... With listeners like you, we would... No, wait. Without listeners like you, we would be a business.
Yeah. We would be a business.
Sure, buddy. How's the weather over there?
It's about as stinky as it is over there.
You know, I mean, like the last Linux show, nobody would be on it, just one guy calling in. Hey. The weather's over here is pretty good.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hello. Is anybody there?
Doc?
It's sort of raining outside.
Doc?
I think Jeff? Doc went under an overpass.
Hello? Can I do a Linux Daily? Hello?
All right.
No, wait. It would be more like this.
Hello?
You're going to get the static.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Boop.
It's ringing over here.
Boop.
Who's that booping?
Boop.
Who's that? Who's that? Who's over there? Doc, that you, Doc?
Hey, what's wrong?
Hold on, I'm coming out to a ton.
We're having too much fun.
Could I borrow some money?
No, listen, the worst part is we're picking on the quality of their show after we played music for the first 15 minutes of ours behind our show. So it wasn't just me tonight, it was Dan too.
Hey, we're lucky we got the box up and running tonight, man. if I wouldn't have had that extra disc laying around, we'd have been screwed.
Dan's like, Link, you got a Dynabolic disc, man? You carry that sucker with you from now on. All right, listen, everybody. Thanks for listening to... our show 61. I hope we get things straightened around, and it'll be
62 will be better.
Yeah, it'll be a lot better next time. You know, we had a long break, and we're just catching up to ourselves. That's what.
Yeah, it was two shows last week. Two shows in a row.
Yeah, and they were good, man.
Yeah, actually,
they worked out good, and then we had that long break and forgot to shut the damn music off. You know,
oops.
All right. Anyway.
Which doesn't make any sense because I didn't have the speaker turned on and it shouldn't have been playing.
Are you sure?
That's what it said. I must have screwed something up.
Yeah, typical. Dan. I screw up.
Hey, right. Ubuntu man. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Hey, did you try and run a server on that yet? Does it come? Does it come with a server?
What do you mean, does it come with a server?
Does it come like with Apache? Web server.
I believe it does. No, I don't know. Hold on. No,
we gotta, get going. Listen, everybody. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Come back, listen to us next time. Make sure you email us. Let us know that you're listening to the show and what your opinions are about the topics we covered. And hey, send us some more of those audio comments. We got comments from Will Simpson and comments from Brock over in Australia and stuff like that. Send them in.
Brock Sampson.
No. What a dork.
Are you watching? Are you watching Venture Brothers?
Man, I haven't caught it this week yet.
Fantastic, man.
Did they get to the last one yet?
I don't think so. Wait, and you mean on the weekly reruns?
On the weekly reruns, yeah.
I think that it's got to be because I'm starting to see stuff I've already seen before.
Okay, because they did the last one, and it was like, you know, a ripoff of like 9 different movies all combined in one, and they
I
ended up
seen
with
that
the
one yet.
Oh, they ended up with the Easy Rider at the end, and I don't know if there's something I missed or I just did not understand the ending. It's like I'm waiting for that one to come around again so I can watch it over again.
Lake over here, he's like, damn it, why'd they shut the hell up?
I had no idea what you're talking about. I'm reading the IRC log.
Honestly, Ubuntu great, but I mean, it seems to be more geared towards a desktop distribution. And for running a server, you'd do the install, and then you'd have to go back and remove packages that you don't want for a regular server.
Right.
Like, who the hell runs X on a server, a web server?
I do.
You run X on a web server?
On my Mac, yeah.
Before?
Because I use it as a secondary workstation.
Too. Well, that's in but I mean, if you have a dedicated server, you really don't know. You know what? What am I talking about? I have an X, but I use it as a workstation. I don't run X on.
See, there you go. There's reasons for doing that, you know. Our reasons are not the same as someone who would, you know, run it to administer their server under X, but that's.
Oh, you know what? For those of you who listen and might not be aware of this, Twiki has this serious security exploit that I guess. Not as widely publicized as it should have been. And the only reason why I was running Twiki on a server and somebody took advantage of that exploit and was running something. And when I found that out, I found like the day that they started doing it, I got rid of the Twiki right then and there because I didn't want anybody dicking around with it. But like 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, I got an email from Twiki saying that you signed up to download the software or sometime. We're sending out this email to alert everybody that there was a security risk and Twiki that allowed non-root users or whatever to execute code as the Twiki nobody account.
That rots.
So, you know, just be aware of that. If you run Twiki, make sure you update it to the latest version.
Twiki.
Yeah.
I was just saying, it just reminds me of that little, like, the midget guy in the Buck Rogers thing with the little clock on the front of him there.
Yeah, Randy's going to be sad. Beedie, beedie, beedie. Now, I've been running Wikipedia.
Let's go, Buck.
But not beedie, beedie, beedie.
Exactly. Every time somebody says that, it just comes through my mind. I don't know why.
Twiki. Didn't the mascot for Twiki, wasn't it Twiki? If you went to the
Twiki, I think it was.
Twiggy or something. It was Twiggy. And the clock dude that was on the front of him was Dr. something.
Yeah, it was some doctor, yeah.
But
I guess we can cut it off now. Oh, man, I got to go and make a... I got to upload. I should have been working on the damn RSS feed.
Listen, good night, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to... Our
Linux show.
Yeah, our little
support the Linux show. They need your help.
Yeah, support our show first because we're going to be here after December 21st or something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Thanks for listening.
Linux Link Tech Show.